very often when I give a guest shiur, so I try to combine two different parts of Torah. We try to give a shiur, a lumdus, and halacha, something with a little bit of a real tochen to it, to get teeth into. And then at the end, try to give a little bit of drush, a little bit of machshava, a little bit of maybe even mussar, something we could walk away with, a little bit of what we call a davar shavu l'chol nefesh. So 99% of the time when I say the shiur, the two distinct parts. I used to always joke, when I grew up in Riverdale, so very often Rabbi Willie used to give his Shabbos HaGodol drush, Shabbos Shiva drushes, so he used to divide up, one half of the shiur was literally chelik aloch, and the second half was chelik drush. It was pretty much an even breakdown, about 45 minutes each. When I give my Shabbos Shuva and Shabbos HaGodol drush to my shul, so the breakdown is about an hour and 14 minutes of aloch and about 2 minutes of drush at the end. But the idea is still basically there. So what I want to do tonight is a little bit different. Rather than differentiating, giving in a sense two different shiurim, giving a chelek halach and then a chelek drush, I really want to try as best as we can to weave together the machshava, the musar, the chizuk, the divya seiris, within the chelek halach itself, because this particular sugya really lends itself to that. And the sugya that we're going to try to discuss tonight is the sugya of Birchas HaTorah. Of course, Birchas HaTorah is always a timely topic, because we do recite Birchas HaTorah every day, as we see as we go on, whether we should or should not be doing that. Hopefully the answer is yes. But of course, it's particularly appropriate this time when we stand between Pesach and Shavuos. Our minds are ready, should be geared towards Zman Matan Torah. So what greater way to begin the preparations for Shavuos than with, in fact, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, literally praising and blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving us the wonderful Matana of Torah. So I want to combine together the Chelek HaLocha, the Sugi, the Lomdos of Birchas HaTorah, and to see how even within the world of Lomdos, even within the world of the intricate HaLochas of Birchas HaTorah, there's much for us to derive, much chizuk, hopefully for each and every one of us to get. So the sugi begins. I did ask to have the bracha printed out just in case anyone forgot what the bracha was. We're going to refer to that a little bit later. But the sugi itself appears in brachas nafchof aleph amid aleph. It's towards the top of the page, the two dots, about 7 or 8 lines from the top. Amar Rav Yehuda, minayin lebirchas hamazon le'acharei min haTorah. How do we know that one is required to bench mida araisa? Shenema v'chalta v'savata v'rachta. So birchas hamazon min haTorah is only after one eats. Of course, we know there's a mitzvah of brachas even before one eats. Birchas hanenim, but that's only midrabbanan, and we're not talking about the rabbanans right now. So mid araisa, the mitzvah of birchas hamazon is of course after one finishes eating. Then the Gemara says, in contrast, minayin lebirchas haTorah lefaneh min haTorah. How do we know that a person is obligated to recite birchas haTorah before one learns, not after, but before one learns? Shenema kishema shemeko avogadol lekenu. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Haazinu, kishema shemeko avogadol lekenu, before Moshe Rabbeinu introduces the Divrei Torah, so he calls upon Klal Yisrael to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this becomes the source for the din, for the mitzvah of birchas haTorah. There is a major machlokes in the Rishonim, just how to learn Pshat in this Gemara, just how serious we should take this drasha in the sense of, is this a real drasha mid araisa? Well, the first half of the Gemara is clearly mid araisa. We don't have to go very far to know that Birchas HaMazon is a mitzvah d'araisa. So some Rishonim say that just as Birchas HaMazon is d'araisa, the Gemara is saying it in the same breath, Birchas HaTorah, pre-limud HaTorah, is actually a mitzvah d'araisa. So when we get up, it's Shem tomorrow morning, we say, Asher Kedushan, mitzvah, all the brachas that we recite, we are actually in fulfillment of a mitzvah d'araisa of Kishem HaShem Ekra. And other Rishonim, such as the Rambam, say no, that although the Gemara does use the phrase, Minayin LeBirchas HaTorah, Min HaTorah, this is lav dafka, it really means it's an asmachta, it's a hint, it's alluded to, a remez in the Torah, but in terms of being a real bona fide mitzvah d'araisa, so the answer is not, says the Rambam. The only bracha that we have mid d'araisa, argues the Rambam, is the bracha of Birchas HaMazon. That's an explicit pasuk, can't argue with that. All other brachas, including Birchas HaTorah, are only mid d'rabbanan. So although other Rishonim disagree, the Ramban and others held that Birchas HaTorah is d'araisa, the Rambam did not accept that view. My nafkamina, as we say, what's the difference? Who cares? Their eyes and their abundance. We're from people who are going to keep whatever the din is. Their eyes and their abundance. Of course, immediately, the first nafkamina that should probably come to mind is, what's the halacha of a suffik? Would a person be required to recite Birchas HaTorah if one is mesupach, if one doesn't know, doesn't remember? If you hold it's a mitzvah d'araisa, then we would say, suffik d'araisa l'chumra, and you would have to recite the bracha over again. If it's only a mitzvah mid'rabbanon, then we would probably say, suffik d'rabbanon l'kula. But here we would say even more than just Suffolk Darabana Lakula, we would say Suffolk Brachos Lahakel, which would require of us specifically not to recite a bracha. If I have a Suffolk, whether I did a mitzvah Darabana or not, I want to light Nehos Chanukah over again, no one's going to stop you. But if you want to recite a bracha mi Suffolk, so then you're playing around with the potential of a bracha levatollah, So if Birchas HaTorah is only midrabbanan, then we would probably opt to say it's better not to recite the bracha. So we already have our first machlekes of Rishonim, we already have our first nafkamina, we're already in business. So we start out with the Gemara. The Gemara says there's a mitzvah to say Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. The Rambam says the pasuk is lav dafka. The Ramban says the pasuk is very much dafka. Machlekes of Rishonim, safik mechumra, safik lekula, unclear. How do we paskin on the Shaila? So the answer is it's probably a suffix. That's probably not going to help us. What do we do? How do we paskin on the Shaila? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes an interesting pshar, an interesting compromise. And here it's important for us to go to look at the quote-unquote the first of the Maamar Kamos, the bracha, the nusach, the text of Birchas HaTorah itself. So if you look at the text of Birchas HaTorah, it's a very, very long bracha. It's actually multiple brachas, and it's not even clear how many multiple brachas there are. So I guess the art scroll, I assume that's where it came from. The also Kapaskin, that there are two brachas, Haraya. It made one paragraph, and the other another paragraph. However, if you take a look quickly at the Nuscha Bracha, Baruch Hashem, Lekin Hashem, Kedish Shem, it's also a lasik with the Vesora. So the art scroll sitter is assuming the Harev Na is in the same paragraph, same run-on sentence, same line. It's just a continuation of the first Bracha, and the Bracha concludes with Amalami Torah Am Yisrael. The second Bracha is a separate and distinct Bracha. So according to the way this sitter was paskening, like Hefter Rishonim, that there are actually two Birchas HaTorahs that we recite. There are other Rishonim who had a different text to Birchas HaTorah. According to them, Asher Kedishonim, it says, Tzvano, Lasek with the Vesor, there are those who had entirely different words, Al Divrei Torah, but we're going to leave that out for now. There are those who had the text, Tzvano, Lasek with the Vesor, period. End of sentence, end of line, end of paragraph, new paragraph. New paragraph begins with Bracha number two, not Viharevna, but if you remember back from your ninth grade days of English, you try not to start a sentence with and. So if it's a continuation of the previous sentence, then the vav is appropriate. If it's a new paragraph, it would be incorrect grammatically to begin with v'ha'arevna, and thus, Hefter Rishonim had the other girsa, ha'arevna. It's a new bracha, a separate bracha, which concludes with Hamalami Torah Le'am Yisrael, and the next one is Hashem Bachar Banu. So we're not quite sure how many brachas we have here, but we definitely have more than one. We either have two or we have three. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you have a suffix, whether you recite a Birchas HaTorah, so you don't want to go the rest of the day without reciting a bracha, because suffik deraisa perhaps is l'chumra. But mid deraisa, there's no need to recite three brachas. Mid deraisa, there's no need to recite two brachas. Mid deraisa, you can only recite one bracha, and you're home free. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, if you don't remember whether you said Birchas HaTorah, we want to be machmir to say it again. On the other hand, we don't want to be too machmir, because to be too machmir is going to earn the side of too many extra brachas. So therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, say one bracha, pick your bracha, whichever bracha you like. Says the Mishnah Berurah, we're not going to give you such autonomy, we're going to tell you which is the best bracha. The Gemara says actually Hashem Bachar Banu is the nicest of the brachas, bracha ma'al yusuf, whatever that means. It's the superior of all the brachas here, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah paskins, if you're not sure whether you said a Birchas HaTorah, forget the whole first paragraph, forget the one or two first brachas, just get to the punchline and say Hashem Bachar Banu and call it a day. So getting back to our original question, is Birchas HaTorah min HaTorah, or is Birchas HaTorah only midrabbanan? Assuming that it's min HaTorah, the Gemara quoted what seems to be a very strange source for this mitzvah deraisa, a pasuk tucked away in Parshas Hazinu, ki sheim Hashem ekra avu gadol elokeinu, between you and me, that has nothing to do with Birchas HaTorah. How in the world did Chazal see in that pasuk, either midrabbanan or even as a remez for that matter, how in the world did Chazal see in that pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu is about to say Shem Hashem Ekra, and he insists that Klai Yisrael praise? What does that have to do with learning a daf in Bava Metzia? What does that have to do with learning a siman in Mishnah Berurah? What in the world does Ki Shem Hashem Ekra have anything at all to do with Limud HaTorah? So I think here we can begin already the first of the bridges that we mentioned in the Hakdamah to the Shir between the world of Halacha and the world of Machshava. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Yishem Hashem. What in the world does that phrase mean? What do we mean when we speak about a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we can really push the question back and ask ourselves, what do we mean when we speak about the shame of any person, of an individual, a boss of Adam? What does it mean, a name of a person? So we know that in Tanakh, names are very significant. Names describe the very essence of a person, and very often, names were given with actually Ruach HaKodesh, or Nevuah. A name, and sometimes names are actually changed, as a person's personality, as his destiny begins to change, so then his name is changed also. Avram becomes Avram, Yaakov becomes Yisrael. A name is critical. A name is a description of what the essence of that individual is all about. The shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no less than that. The shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a description of Elokus. It's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's very essence. How in the world would we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How would we talk about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So here we're at a loss of words, as the Torah says, itself says, Ufanai lo yera'u. There's no way to really see the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyachol, obviously not in a physical sense. There's no way to see the very essence, the very glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, v'ra'isa sacharai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a way to see a little bit, to get a glimpse, to get a mashal, to get some kind of a description of divinity in this world. And what is the secret? So if you open up the Psukim in Parshas Kisisa, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to give you a glimpse of who I am. Ufanai le'ero. You're not going to see the real thing. I'm going to give you a little bit. Isa sacharai. So we are all geared up. You know, the Aliyah ends. V'ra'isa sacharai ufanai lo yeru. We're like, we have a plotting to get the next Aliyah. What's the Kadosh Baruch Hu going to tell us? What great, deep, mystical, Kabbalistic vision is about to happen? And we're in for a little bit of a disappointment. You know why? Because the next pasuk says, make luchos, and let's start learning halacha together. I'm going to give you another sefer chinuch. Let's write a Mishnah Torah together. I'm going to give you Mishnah Torah. Let's sit and learn. What happened to the great description of Elokus? The answer is, it's right there. It's right in front of our faces. The Shem Hashem in this world is the Torah. Divrei Torah, every word of Torah, from the first Mishnah above Metziah, to a Mishnah Bura, to a Shnai Mikov Yechet Targum, to a Pasuk in Navi, to a Shtikl Torah of Reb Chaim, you name it. Anything that's part of Torah Kedosha is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's very essence. It's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's description. That is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in this world. And as such, we can now begin to understand exactly what Chazal meant when they said, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havagadol Elokeinu. When you pronounce the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't just pronounce the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu just flippantly, just like that. Take a step back. Stop for a minute. Havagadol Elokeinu. First praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then call out His name. Not only when you're speaking about the Shem Hashem, but when you're talking about the Shem Hashem. When you're opening up Brachas Chafalaf Amid Aleph, when you're learning Daf Yom Yeng Subis, whatever shape or form you're learning Torah, you're being osik in the Shem Hashem. And as such, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havagadol Elokeinu. Remember, I had heard this several times from the, I learned in Kerem Yavne, the Rosh Shiva, Rav Govach Zatzal, used to say on the part of the Davin that we say in the Shalosh Regal, Batavach Hatan Mikol Amim, so we praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu for all the wonderful gifts He's bestowed upon us. Rabbam Tan Mikol Adashayna, Svikidash Tan Mikol Secha, Vikir, wow, it's great, it's wonderful. And you come to the end of that passage and you realize, hey, there's something missing. Not even a mention, not even a nod, not even a thank you for Talmud Torah. That was pretty important. Shouldn't we have at least said, and thanks, Rabbanu Shalom, for Daf Yomi for today. What happened to Talmud Torah? So Rav Shiva said, it's right there in front of your face. V'shimcha ha'gadol v'hakadosh alein karasa. What do you think that shame is? V'shimcha ha'gadol v'hakadosh alein karasa means, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have given us your name. It means you've given us a way to call you in this world. You've given us a way to find you in this world. That's v'shimcha ha'gadol v'hakadosh alein karasa. That is the essence of Birchas HaTorah. The Birchas HaTorah is not just, you know, I'm about to mumble psukim, so I mumble a bracha first. No, I'm about to engage myself in calling on the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The introduction to that calling is, Kishem Hashem Ekra HaVagadol Elokeinu. But now we get to some, I guess, what we call the nitty-gritty parts of the halacha of Birchas HaTorah. And we turn to the back page of the Maamar Kamos. The Gemara tells us different ways to fulfill this obligation of Birchas HaTorah. The regular standard way is exactly the psukim, the brachas that we saw before, the two of the three brachas. That's the Gemara in Maseches Brachas also. But here the Gemara tells us, in a sense, the yotzim in a klal, the strange way of fulfilling Birchas HaTorah. So if you take a look on Daf Yud Aleph from the days, it's about the third of the way down, the first words of the lines, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Give it about approximately 20 lines down. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, first one's on the line. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hishkim l'shanos, ad shelo kara kriya shma, tzorach levarich. If a person wakes up early in the morning, and they haven't yet davened, they haven't yet said kriya shma, they want to start to learn, they have to recite Birchas HaTorah, shekidishana, v'harav nasha, v'chamana, the whole brachas that we spoke about. Misha kara kriya shma. Once a person has already said shma, and for whatever reason he didn't learn yet, and he hasn't even said Birchas HaTorah yet, ain't tzorach levarich. Then there is no need to recite Birchas HaTorah. Shekva niftar ba'ava rabba. Because he has already fulfilled his obligation of Birchas HaTorah by reciting the bracha of Ava Rabba. Because if you think about it, what's the theme of Ava Rabba? Sounds pretty similar to the bracha of Harav Nashem Lekenes Divrei Torah Chavivino. Just different words, same idea. So therefore, Chazal tell us that you have two options available to fulfill Brichas Torah. One is the regular standard, two or three brachas. And if for whatever reason you already said Avarabba, then you don't even have to bother saying the two or three brachas. You will yaitzei with Avarabba. So comes tells us on the spot and quotes the Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi puts the brakes on this statement. If you take a look at the Tosas, the long Tosas, Shekvat Nifta B'Avarabba, just start with leave out the first couple of words, B'Yerushalmi Yesh. It appears in the Yerushalmi the following statement. Hadi Amrina and Shekvat Nifta B'Avarabba, when do we say that a person can fulfill Birchat Torah through the saying of Avarabba? V'hu Sheshon Al Asar. That's assuming that the person learnt immediately afterwards. Perish the altar shalomad miyad be'osamokom. That he learnt right after saying Avarabba. Then and only then does Avarabba count as a Birchas Torah. The Beis Yosef actually has a fascinating question. What do you mean he learnt afterwards? Of course he learnt afterwards. He said Shema right after he finished Avarabba. Isn't that learning? So the Beis Yosef suggests as one teretz, no, it's not. It's not learning. It's davening. It's a pasuk. If you happen to be Mavis Sedra Pashas Vaschanan and you're learning the Pesukim of Shema Yisrael, that's called learning. If you happen to be saying it as Kriya Shema, that's not called learning, that's called davening. Interesting teretz in the Beis Yosef. Actually, the background of that Beis Yosef is really a shayla that the Rishonim discussed, the Lamaisa shayla. What's the halacha if a person comes to shul, they haven't said brachas yet, it's time for slichos, and they want to say slichos before reciting brachas and Torah. Is that appropriate or not? So the Ramah quotes two opinions about this. One opinion the Ramah says is, how can you say psukim? Say psukim before brachas and Torah, that's not acceptable. And the other opinion the Ramah is, I'm not learning the psukim, I'm davening the psukim. Sometimes people when they learn, that we call it davening up the daf. So here you're learning up the davening. It means if the person's learning the davening, then you have to say Birchas HaTorah. If you're davening the davening, then there's no need to say Birchas HaTorah. So the source of that Ramah is really rooted in this same Mahalach as the Beis Yosef is saying. But Akol Panim, the Rishami does make the statement that when do we say that Birchas HaTorah is valid, Avarabba is valid as a Birchas HaTorah, if it was followed immediately by learning. So Tosus continues. V'nishal Avarabba ben Yitzchak. So the Re was asked the following question. Says the Re, we don't all learn immediately after davening. So the Re seems to be accepting, with the question that was presented to the Re, seems to be working with an assumption, which we're going to question in a moment. The assumption is that Birchas HaTorah must be followed by Limud HaTorah. Although the Rishalmi happens to be talking about Avarabba, probably the same is true for Asher Bachar Bonu, Asher Kedishanu, etc. So comes the Re and says, wait a second, we recite these brachas in the morning, we recite Avarabba in the morning, and then as soon as davening is over, lav dafka, we're running to go learn. Many of us don't learn until later in the day, says the Re. How is that Brachas HaTorah valid? According to the Rishalmi, that you must learn immediately after reciting Brachas HaTorah, so this throws into question the entire recitation of Brachas HaTorah. So initially, Rabbi Ben Yitzchak back again. Now I could see it's kind of like a krech tzitzis is giving. Shanu trudin, we're busy. V'hochin kach below limud, that we can go sometimes hours without learning. At emtza hayom, sometimes even till the lunch break. Then tzitzis is kind of like can see it's almost a shame to say, oh yoser, sometimes even longer than lunchtime. Amai ein anu mevarchin berchas HaTorah. Pam acheres kishon maschilin lumod. Says tells us that Birchas HaTorah we said in the morning didn't count. We said Birchas HaTorah, nobody bothered learning afterwards. A guy picks up a daf yomi at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when he has a couple of minutes. He should have to say Birchas HaTorah because he wasn't yotzei with the first Birchas HaTorah. That was the question that was presented to the Re. According to the Rishalmi, that Birchas HaTorah must be followed by Limud HaTorah. How do we explain what we do or don't do? So comes the Re, the Heishiv Re, the Lo Kaimalan Ka Osei Rishalmi. Holu Gemara Shalana La Amru Ve'Ein Tzarach Li'Alta Lomad. Says the Re, guess what? We don't pass like the Rishami. Simple enough answer. What do you mean, don't pass like the Rishami? Says the Re, I learned all the Maseches Brachos. It doesn't appear in the Bavli. We have a rule, whenever there's a machlokas, the Bavli and the Rishami, so 9 out of 10 times we follow the Bavli. The Re claims, although there's no statement in the Bavli to the contrary, at least explicitly, from the fact that the Bavli didn't bother mentioning this in the Sugya Birchas HaTorah, it would appear that the Bavli disagreed. So according to the Gri, we now have a major machlokes, the Bavli and the Rishalmi. Must Birchas HaTorah be followed by Limud HaTorah or not? Is that absolutely critical? According to the Rishalmi, the answer is absolutely yes. And in the absence of following with learning, one is not yotze, one would have to recite the bracha over again. And according to the Baalim, there's no such halacha. Now that we've identified the machlokas, let's go one step further and try to analyze the machlokas. What's the lumdus? What's what we say? What's the nekudas of machlokas between the Baalvi and the Rishalmi, the way Taiz is presenting? Is it necessary for Birchas HaTorah to be followed by Limud HaTorah, or can you have Birchas HaTorah now and Limud HaTorah later in the day? So the Chora, what the Baalvi and the Rishalmi are arguing about, is a fundamental chakira, yesh lachbar. One could raise the following question: what is the very essence, what is the very nature of Birchas HaTorah? We know that there are many types of brachos. There are brachos of Birchas HaNehenin, that's for sure. There are Birchas HaMitzvos. There are brachos that are recited on specific mitzvos that we do. Some of those brachos are pretty straightforward. Recite a bracha before we eat matzah, before we blow shofar, before we shake a lulav. And then there are other brachos that are more in the category we call Birchas HaShevach. We're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a certain wonderful phenomena that we have, but it's not identifying a particular action, a particular maisa mitzvah. And sometimes the line is very, very blurry between what constitutes a birchas hamitzvah and what constitutes a birchas hashevach. As a classic example of somewhat vagueness is a particular bracha that we've heard many, many times, the bracha that's recited under the chuppah. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu l'arayos v'asalonas arusos v'delonas v'asalonas dechum v'chadur. Every rabbi's got to know that bracha by heart. Because every once in a while you get up there and there's no bencha there. There's no bracha there. You can't find it. It looks silly to hold your phone and to read it off your phone. So you better know that bracha by heart. It's Rabbinics 101. So you get up and you recite the bracha. So I'll ask you a lamda shashayla. What's the nature of that bracha? Is that bracha a birchas hamitzvah? Or is that bracha a birchas hashevach? The Rambam holds that that's a birchas hamitzvah, and the Rambam says, you know why you recite a birchas hamitzvah before you get married? Because you're about to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa called ki yikach ishisha. The Rambam holds that the very act of kedushin is a mitzvah in and of itself, nothing to do with having children, that's a separate other mitzvah, but just the very act of getting married is a mitzvah same in HaTorah. And it's no different, and please don't tell your wives they said this, it's no different than eating matzah. It's no different than shaking a little different than putting on your tefillin. It's a mitzvah deraisa that requires a bracha, and that's exactly what the bracha is all about. Asher kiddushanu mitzvaysa v'tzivanu al arayos. It's a little bit longer than a regular bracha, but it's basically, conceptually, a birchas hamitzvah. The Rosh disagrees with the Rambam. The Rosh says it is not a birchas hamitzvah. It is a birchas hashevach. You know why it's not a birchas hamitzvah? Because there is no independent mitzvah to get married. The Rosh was not advocating not getting married. The Rosh was just saying that the quote-unquote mitzvah of getting married is really a mitzvah al shem peruvu. It's more what we call a heksher mitzvah. It's a preparation for a subsequent mitzvah. But it doesn't warrant a bracha. Why do we recite Asher Kiddushanu at a chasada, says the Rosh? It's a birchas hashevach. We are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the institution of marriage rather than the actual mitzvah of marriage. A major machlekes of Rishonim with many, many nafkaminas. Those who are interested in the nafkaminas, so if I could somehow or somewhere dig up the video from my chasana, you could take a look at it. That's what I spoke about at my chasana's tish, about the machlekes, the Ram and the Rosh, about what am I about to do in a few minutes. Is it going to be a formal Torah's mitzvah with a birchas hamitzvah, or is it going to be more of a Torah's shevach like the Shita Rush.
Sorry, Rabbi, what about the matbeah of the actual bracha itself?
Oh, very good. You mean it sounds
like a birchas hamitzvah.
Right, so the problem is, depends who you ask what it sounds like, because the Rush actually brought a raya from the matbeah of the bracha to his shita. Because the Rush says, if it was really a birchas hamitzvah, it should have been much shorter, actually. That's what it should have been. What are you telling a whole story about? That sounds much more shevach oriented than mitzvah oriented.
Right. You don't have on a hechsher mitzvah anywhere else.
Very good, right. Very good. Excellent. So the truth is that the Rush says that Asher kiddushanu mitzvosa v'tzivanu, it doesn't say al kiddushin. It says v'tzivanu al ha'arayos. So the Rush says that we never make brachas on los essays. When I sit down, so I go to the store and I buy a kosher slice of pizza, so I don't get up and make a bracha shekidishanu mitzvah not to eat a tray for pizza. We don't make brachas on los essays, so that's exactly the Rush's raya. So you thought you were bringing a raya against the Rush, you ended up bringing the raya of the Rush. And the Rambam would say, no, it's a brachas mitzvah. It's just a little longer because, you know, it's under the chuppah, you gotta make it a little more dramatic, but it's basically fundamentally a berachas mitzvah. So it's interesting, it's not only the bracha under the chuppah that's somewhat questionable, whether it's a berachas mitzvah or berachas shevach. We find a similar discussion by one of the brachas, at least by a bris milah. The first bracha recited in a bris is pretty straightforward, asher kedishanum mitzvah, it's the ala milah, can't argue with that. But then there's another bracha that said, asher kedishanum mitzvah, mitzvah lachniso bevriso shalav mavinu. What is that? Is that a berachas mitzvah? That's what some Rishonim said. Some Rishonim said it's the special, unique obligation that a father has to make sure that his son is mild. That's the Brichas HaMitzvah. And other Rishonim say it's not a Brichas HaMitzvah. It's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the wonderful institution called Brisa Shlav Mavinu. Where's the Brichas HaMitzvah? The Mael just said it a minute ago when he said Ala Mila. So again, it's unclear. You have several of these brachas that you can't quite put our fingers on whether they're Brichas HaMitzvah or Brichas HaShevach. So it could be that that's ultimately what's going on in this Bavli and the Rishami as well. Is Birchas HaTorah fundamentally a Birchas HaMitzvah? Is Birchas HaTorah fundamentally a Birchas HaShevach? If it's fundamentally a Birchas HaMitzvah, then the Rishonim is 100% right. Birchas HaMitzvah, I can't recite a bracha now and do the mitzvah an hour from now. There has to be a tziruf, there has to be an absolute ironclad connection between the bracha and the mitzvah that's going to be performed. If it's a Birchas HaShevach, it's more of a general, once a daily occurrence of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Limud HaTorah. It doesn't have to be exactly when I open up my Gemara. I'll make the bracha now and I'll get the learning in Chatzos HaYom or later, as Tosfos writes, and no problem. So that's what sounds like part of the issue between the Bavli and the Rishalmi is, assuming there is such a machlokes. Is it really Birchas HaMitzvah oriented, which would require an absolute ironclad connection between the two, or is it a little bit of a softer connection, namely going down the route of Birchas HaShevach?
Maintain though that either mitzvah d'oraisa or mitzvah d'rabbanan to recite a berachas hashavach, because it's the formulation on chafal seems like there is a sort of chiyuv when you want to learn Torah you need to do this to matir it or to not be over some maaseh maybe, but if we say it's a berachas hashavach, do we have mandatory berachas hashavach when it's connected to some sort of maaseh?
Right, excellent, very very good. So the idea of a berachas hashavach, the problem is when you start to introduce deraistic concept into Hilchos Brachos, you run into a brick wall, because we only have one bracha deraisa for sure, Brichas HaMazon. Brichas HaMazon is clearly not a Brichas HaMitzvah, it's clearly in the realm of a Brichas HaShevach, so it's going to be really, really hard to put things into deraistic boxes when you learn the sugyas of Hilchos Brachos. So you're right, 100% you're right. I'm not sure we can make any real rayas on a level of deraisa. The one who popularized this concept that maybe Birchas HaTorah is not quite what it's all cut out to be, it's not quite a Birchas HaMitzvah, but it's more the realm of Birchas HaShevach, was really Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said it in a context where he was addressing really an age-old question, but Kedaka B'Kadosh, Reb Chaim put a new spin on a question that everybody had been talking about for hundreds of years, but Reb Chaim said it in his precise terminology. A question that already goes back to the days of the Rishonim was, what exactly the status is of a woman vis-a-vis Birchas HaTorah? On the one hand, we know that the basic mitzvah of Talmud Torah women are pterus from. Now, there may be exceptions to that rule, and there may be nuances of that rule. But in terms of the basic, absolute obligation of Talmud Torah, so the Gemara is explicit that women are pterus from. The question becomes, therefore, are women, is the corollary of that statement, women are pterus from Birchas HaTorah? Or do we say no? Birchas HaTorah is one area of halacha, and the formal mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a different area of halacha. So, in all the earlier sources, in the Rishonim, the Beis Yosef, and the Poskim, and Shulchan Aruch, so pretty much the Mahalach, pretty much the understanding was that there is a real connection between Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and Birchas HaTorah. How that connection played out in terms of practically for women was a little bit of a question. There were those who wanted to compare women reciting Birchas HaTorah to the practice that is prevalent amongst Ashkenazi women who volunteer to recite brachas on mitzvah seisha as mangroma. Our wives shake a lulav and make a bracha, our wives sit in the sukkah and make a bracha. So there are many Rishonim who compare that, except the Bir HaGra, the Vilna Gaon made that comparison, as well the halacha, that when women recite Birchas HaTorah, it's almost Petorah's Eina Mitzuva V'Yoseh. They're not technically obligated in it, but the same way that they volunteer other brachas on mitzvahs they're not technically obligated in, they can volunteer Birchas HaTorah as well. There were others who suggested that women are obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah, because that statement that we said before, that women are pterus from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, is not an absolute statement. That there are clearly Rishonim who say that at least certain parts of Torah women are obligated in. So maybe they do have a formal mitzvah of Talmud Torah, albeit in a different manner than men, but they do have such a mitzvah, and as such, maybe they're actually chayavos in Birchas Torah. So the general approach from the days of the Beis Yosef on was to connect the two. Whatever you think about Talmud Torah, then you have to kind of plug in and see how that's going to affect Birchas Torah. Came along Reb Chaim and said an entirely different understanding. Came along Reb Chaim and said, he thinks that women are absolutely obligated in Birchas Torah, completely irrelevant to the discussion about what their role is or is not vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Says Reb Chaim, the bracha of Birchas Torah is not on the mitzvah, it's not on the ma'isa mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but rather, and here you have to be only Reb Chaim, only a real brisket could say this, it's on the cheftza of Torah. It's on the very essence of Torah. It's a bracha on the entity of Torah. Of course, it's very hard to put the word cheftz on Torah, because Torah is something which is by definition not tangible. Cheftz always means a tangible object. But in the world of brisk, that's somehow tangible and intangibility, somehow the lines got blurred a little bit. So Zot Reb Chaim, that a woman for sure recites Birchas Torah, and she's obligated in Birchas Torah, not because, not relevant to her chiyuv vis-a-vis Talmud Torah, but because Birchas Torah stands on its own 2 feet, basically highlighting the idea that Birchas Torah is more of a Birchas HaShevach than it is a Birchas HaMitzvah. I had in my own life an interesting potential application of the Shilas. Goes back to, it was one of the, soon after we got married, so I don't remember exactly, we were flying somewhere, and I had some kind of a Shilas about Birchas HaTorah. One of those Shilas, you know, you're not sure how many hours you slept, did you sleep, not sleep, it has Chadas or not, and I was Mesupak whether I was Chayav in Birchas HaTorah. Now remember, we started off the shiur by saying, you're mechuyev, whether you're chayev in Birchas HaTorah, not so simple, a Rambam and a Ramban and a Mishnah Berurah, one bracha, two bracha, it gets very, very complicated. But I noticed, and I know for a fact this must have been one of the very early years of marriage, because I noticed that my wife had slept on the flight, so that means that we didn't have kids yet, because that would have been an impossibility. So I noticed that my wife had slept a little bit better than I had. So I came to the realization that she was probably, quote-unquote, chayavas in Birchas HaTorah, or would be appropriate for her to recite a Birchas HaTorah, even though I wasn't 100% sure that I could recite a Birchas HaTorah. So I took a risky gamble on this one, and I said to her, I think that you really have to say Birchas HaTorah. I'm not sure that I do. Could you be mighty me in Birchas HaTorah? Now, I get a little bit of background. My wife was a Beis Yaakov girl, a little different style, a little bit of a different education. And she looked, what? You want me to be motzi in Birchas HaTorah? I said, listen, this is nothing to do with anything. There's no agenda here. I said, this is pure lumbus. This is dependent on Reb Chaim, with the Mishnah Berurah, with the Ramban. I'll explain to you another time, but do me a favor. Just say Birchas HaTorah, be motzi in Birchas HaTorah. That was the only time ever that I actually put into practice this shaila of a woman potentially being motzi a man in Birchas HaTorah. Anyway, getting back to the story. So, we have...
Isn't the lashon of the bracha a little problematic?
Interesting, very good. This would be a little bit more of a support for the Nusach of Svardim, which is Al Divrei Torah, actually, which may really, you know, really point more the direction of Shevach on the entity of Torah rather than the actual mitzvah of Lasu Divrei Torah.
You also said the second bracha sounds very
good. Okay, very good. Okay, we're going to get that. We're going to get that in a second, okay? So up until this point, we got a little bit into the lumdus about the Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas HaShevach, but we got to it because we're trying to defend the practice that existed that people were saying Birchas HaTorah and just hours were going on before they actually learned. But then Tosfos continues. The Ode, if you go back to the Tosfos, so the first one line was Lomod. The Ode, Afil Fiha Yerushalmi, Dafka Avara but lo v'ika bracha leBirchas HaTorah, the Ika Avarabal Kriyishma Niskan. Ubishvil he ain't on Nifta Birchas HaTorah, Ela im Yilmon Miyad, Vagamli Ases Chadas. Says the Ri, I don't want to take on the Rishalmi. I'm good even according to the Rishalmi, says the Ri. The Rishalmi never said that Birchas HaTorah must be followed by Talmud Torah. All the Rishalmi said is, if you want to invoke Avarabba as a Birchas HaTorah, then you better make sure to learn right away. Aval Birchas HaShabach HaBonu Birchas Lasek U'Divisosh and Iko LeBirchas HaTorah Poteres Kalayom. Says Tosfos, when you want to use a bracha that's not really a Birchas HaTorah, you want to use a make-believe bracha and substitute and call it Birchas HaTorah, and it has to be in the context of Talmud Torah. But if you're saying something which is intrinsically Birchas HaTorah, it's called Birchas HaTorah. It says in the Siddur, say it Birchas HaTorah, what do you have to learn afterwards? It's perfectly okay. What the Ri is now suggesting is that his chiddush, that Birchas HaTorah really doesn't have to be followed by Talmud Torah, is not subject to the Machlokes, the Bavli, and the Rishalmi. It's agreed upon by everyone. And the Rishalmi is only talking about the unique situation of a person who wants to take a bracha that's not really Birchas HaTorah and kind of use it. But a bracha that's real Birchas HaTorah never has to be followed by any limud Torah. But now, it's not done yet. Tosa says, Vim Toimer. So we recited Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Whether we did learn or didn't learn, every time you stop, you go somewhere, and you come back a few hours later, you have to recite another bracha in the sukkah. I recited Birchas HaTorah. I learned after davening for a few minutes. I go to work at 11 o'clock, I have a couple of minutes, I should say another Birchas HaTorah. I get a chat during lunch for a couple of minutes, I say a new Birchas HaTorah. I'm in the car on the way home, I listen to something, a new Birchas HaTorah. Nobody does that. What's the difference? Shloma says to us, and here once again we cross that bridge between the world of Allah and the world of Hisarius, Vie Shlomar, Dishani Torah, She'eno Miyaj Daito, says Tosfos, there's no such thing as Hesech Hadas from Talmud Torah. When you walk out of your sukkah after eating breakfast and you're going to Six Flags, you're not coming back for another 10 hours. You're not thinking about that sukkah. Sukkah's over. I ate my meal the sukkah, made a relationship with sukkah. I'm going to eat potato chips for the rest of the day. But when it comes to Limud HaTorah, there's no such thing as walking away from Torah. The shiny Torah, she'ein miyash daito, the chol shah or the mechuy of lumo, the chsiv agis v'yom v'layla, v'avikimo yoshev kol hayom below hefsek. Says Tosfos, that's the mindset of a Jew. Now, if that's not the greatest mussar in the world of halacha, what else is there? Says Tosfos, it doesn't matter what you're doing, your mind has never left or should never leave, and that's why Birchas HaTorah is intact. What Tosa just told you is that you daven shachris at 6 in the morning and you learn a few minutes after davening and you go to work, you don't come back until 10 o'clock at night, you were never misyash. You never gave up hope of Limud HaTorah. Daito, you were always, your das was always on Limud HaTorah. Just in case Tosa's terrors is not enough of a chizuk, so others give another answer to Tosa's dilemma, and others say, what do you mean you weren't learning? What Torah observant Jew is not actively learning during the course of the day? You don't even realize how much you're learning. Anything you're doing, you're constantly being Mahara in Talmud Torah. Not like Tosa says, you're planning on coming back to your Gemara. No, you're at work. You're going through your quote-unquote mundane day-to-day decisions in life. Every Jew is always thinking, I take a snack. I think, is this the Bar Prey? Is this the Bar Prey Adoma? Did I make a Bar Nefashas? Did I make a Bar Nefashas? You're in the middle of a business deal? Wait a second, is this honest? Is this ribbis? Am I allowed to be doing this? A doctor in the hospital, is this something that's appropriate to be done? Is this something that the halacha permit? There's concepts, almost a subconscious type of limud HaTorah throughout the course of the day. You would be shocked if you would actually keep track of the different halachic dilemmas that each and every person has. Each person by Shehu Sham, the halachic, the hashkafic, you are constantly asking yourself and constantly questioning yourself, is this appropriate Torah behavior? Is this not appropriate? Is this mutar? Is this osur? Say a group of Rishonim, that's Talmud Torah also. There is no such thing as Hesech Das. It's impossible to be a Shomer Torah mitzvahs and to be a Mesiach Das from Torah. So I think both of these Tirutzim are very powerful. Both of these Tirutzim are tremendous Mechayivim to us. The Tosfos tells us our entire Birchas HaTorah is working with the assumption that there's no Hesech Das. Either there's no Hesech Das because I'm always looking forward to the next moment to actively learn, or there's no Hesech Hadas because even at the times when I'm not quote unquote learning, I'm still involved and to some degree, to some extent, in Limud HaTorah. This idea that Ava Rabba can double as Birchas HaTorah seems at first glance to be a little bit strange. Because if you look just at the text of really the Chasimas HaBracha, which is usually the key, the conclusion of the Bracha really tells you what the essence of the Bracha is. The end of Ava Rabba doesn't really have anything to do with Talmud Torah. Habocher be'amo Yisrael be'ava, or even the equivalent one at Ma'ariv, Oiv Amo Yisrael, it's a beautiful bracha, and we did make a little bit of a reference to V'hari Neinu B'sor Asecha V'davik Le'im Yitzel Asecha, but the very essence of the bracha doesn't even say the magic word Torah in it. If so, why is it that we're in Chazal, we're so sure that the bracha of Ava Rabba, if done properly, can actually double, can actually substitute, can actually serve as an alternate form of Birchas HaTorah. What is it about the very essence of Ava Rabba and the bracha of Birchas HaTorah that really make these two brachas, in a certain sense, one and the same? So I think perhaps we get a little bit of an insight into this dilemma if we go back to the nusach of the Birchas Torah itself. And of course, we've all said Birchas Torah countless times. But there's some real issues with Birchas Torah, things that really should catch our attention. So as we already mentioned, the bracha starts off fairly simple, Asher Kedishan Mitzvot Tzvot Alasik Devisora, and then it takes a little bit of a turn. And again, whether the turn is a new bracha, whether the turn is part of the original bracha, Harev Nashem Lakenes Devisora Escha Befinu. All of a sudden, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should Harev now, we should enjoy, the words of Torah should be pleasant. Now, I'm all for the words of Torah being pleasant, but I'm not quite sure what that's doing in the bracha. I put on tefillin every morning, and I don't make a bracha. Rabbanu Shalom, Asher Kedushan, Mitzvot Laniach Tefillin. Let me have a great time when I'm about to do. When I ate matzah a couple of weeks ago, I made a bracha al achilas matzah. I didn't say Rabbanu Shalom al achilas matzah, and please let this matzah really do the trick. Comes to Birchas Torah, somehow we don't suffice ourselves with saying just the basic tzura of Tzivan Lasek of the Visora, but we start to incorporate other themes, Harev Nashem Lokeinu, things which are beautiful, but not really appropriate in the context of a bracha. And then, just in case that's not difficult enough, all of a sudden we switch. And we switch to, by the way, Ribbono Shel Olam, please, let us be successful that our children should want to learn Torah also. Again, I'm all for that tefillah. It's a beautiful tefillah to be said when your wife's benchlecht. It's a beautiful tefillah to be said, you know, Erev Yom Kippur. What does that have to do with Birchas Torah? I'm talking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for two things. Number one, it should be great. I should have a great time what I'm doing. And number two, my children should become great Talmid Chachamim also. They're all wonderful and beautiful bakoshos, but not really appropriate in the context of this bracha. What are Chazal trying to tell us? So I think that what Chazal are telling us is really alluding to a yesod that appears in the Sefer Eglei Tal. Eglei Tal is an introduction, what a classic Sefer in Hilcha Shabbos. In his introduction, the Sakhach of a Rebbe, in his introduction to the Sefer Eglei Tal, he describes the following phenomena. Sometimes you see a person is learning Torah and they're really, really enjoying it. They're getting such a geshmak. This Reb Chaim is just unbelievable. Rambam and Raiva, I understand Torah is Kasha and Rashi, and I got the Tzmach Legs of Bayin Rava. Guy's really, he's having a great time. So somebody, a bystander, will give a little bit of a cynical look and say, that's not Torah Lishma. He's having too good a time. You know what Torah Lishma is? But I'm miserable. I can't forget this Tosis. I'm breaking my head against the wall. I don't know what Tosis is all about. I can't read the Rambam. I can't make any sense out of this. That's a real Lishmonik. The other guy, he's not a Lishmonik. He's having too good of a time. Says the Eglei Tal, that analysis, that evaluation is as far from the truth as possible. Says the Eglei Tal, the person who's enjoying it, the person who's getting a schmuck out of Talmud Torah, that's not a pagam, that's not a chisorum, that's not lacking in his Lishma. That's the greatest enhancement of Lishma. Why? Part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the enjoyment. It's not that I do a mitzvah, it's a real lamda shavah, it's a chesish rebbe, but it's a real brisket Torah. When I enjoy Torah, it's not pshat, I'm doing the basic mitzvah, whether I enjoy it or not, and if I enjoy it, great, I get brownie points for an extra smile. No, the enjoyment of the Torah is a part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's a greater kima mitzvah. It's almost like a hiddur in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is supposed to be enjoyed. That's part of the gift of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Talmud Torah is supposed to be a good time. You're supposed to have fun when one is learning Torah. And now we understand exactly why Baharav Na is in the bracha. I don't say Baharav Na by other mitzvahs. By other mitzvahs, the enjoyment is something which is tangential. If this is Shabbos Simcha, I should always enjoy what I'm doing. Everyone should be smiled. Everyone should mitzvah gedol liyos b'simcha tamid. It says that somewhere, but whatever it is, you should be happy. Good. But by Talmud Torah, it's much more than that. By Talmud Torah, it's part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. And therefore, it is entirely appropriate to incorporate that into the bracha. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm about to be yotze a mitzvah derais of mitzvah lasik b'divrei Sora. How am I going to be yotze that mitzvah? V'harav Hashem lakenes divrei Sora escha b'finu. That's a kiyum of Talmud Torah. And now we understand exactly what the hemshech is. Talmud Torah is not just Talmud Torah. Part of Talmud Torah is lumo tor l'lamda. That's how the Rambam formulates the mitzvah. V'shinandam v'anecha v'dibartam is one mitzvah. The mitzvah is to be involved in limud Torah and teaching of Torah. It's two sides of the same coin. This bracha is addressing the following phenomena. I want very much that my children should want to learn Torah as well. How in the world am I going to help pull that off? What can I possibly do? In the end, we all need tremendous amounts of siyat d'shmaya. But what ishtadlos can I do to give myself a fighting chance that my children are going to want to learn Torah also? The answer is very simple. Our children are a lot smarter than we sometimes think they are. And they tell us that they're smarter than we think they are. A child, rightfully so, wants to do something that's enjoyable. A child is looking. Your children are looking at you to see, do you really love learning, or are you just doing it because it's a burden? If you're doing it because it's a burden, they're not going to take this burden upon themselves. If they see that you love it, you're their role model, then they will begin to love it as well. That's exactly the Hemshech HaDvarim of this bracha. These are not two separate and distinct themes that have nothing to do with each other and nothing to do with Brachas HaTorah. It's Hainuach, it's all one long theme. Namely, I'm about to embark upon Talmud Torah. The definition of Talmud Torah is Be'ahava. The definition of Talmud Torah is V'ha'arev. No, it's got to be B'simcha. It's got to be B'toch Ne'imus, B'toch pleasantness and enjoyable experience. And it is only if it's an enjoyable experience will I fulfill Talmud Torah Bishle Musa, will I fulfill Talmud Torah in its fullest extent, because then and only then will I be able to impart it to the next generation. That's the theme of this bracha. You choose whether it's a Brichas HaMitzvah or whether it's a Brichas HaShevach. I'm not so sure there's that much of a difference between Brichas HaMitzvah and Brichas HaShevach, because if you really love Torah, you're Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. And if you're Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it, so then that's the real fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now we go back to the question we posed several minutes ago. How could Brichas HaTorah be fulfilled with Ava Rabba? Abrich HaBemis of Ava. Where's the Talmud Torah? The answer is very simple. Rashi, Ala Torah, quotes from the Sifrei, V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Keitzad Ohavo. How do you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's a song that people in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anachnu Ohavim Ocha, people jump up and down at weddings singing. It's on bumper stickers. You see in Eretz Yisrael song, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anachnu Ohavim Ocha. I want to stop the guy in front of me. I don't want to stop into the guy. I want to stop the guy in front of me. Ask him, explain to me what that means. I'm a lamdan. I've been a brisker a little bit. Keitzad Ohavo. How do you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Give me the kalim. I want to know, how do I go about doing it? Most mitzvahs in the Torah, I can tell you how to do the Maisa mitzvah. I'll tell you, I'll give you a prayer. Tefillin, show you how to put tefillin on. How to eat a kazayis amatz, how to shake a lulav. I know how to do ma'isa mitzvahs. What's the ma'isa mitzvah of haftas Hashem l'kach? How do I do it? So this is not my question. This is Chazal's question to the Sifrei. Keitzad Ohavo. The Torah tells us the secret. If you haftas Hashem l'kach, v'hoyu advar me'ela shenoch mitzavcha yom al avecha, v'shinat al vanecha v'dibartabam, Talmud Torah. That is the way, par excellence, of Avas Hashem, to be involved in Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah is not just a Ma'aseh Mitzvah, it is an expression of Ava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. It's a dual expression of Ava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses his Ava by granting us Torah, and we express Ava by learning that Torah in return. That's why the Bracha is entirely appropriate. HaBoicheh Be'Ava Yisrael Be'Ava. Where was the bond of Ava? The answer is in Brachas Daf Chafalaf. The answer is Bamitzia Daf Beis. The answer is Ksubas Daf. I am whatever Daf they're up to in Ksubas and Daf Yemi. That is the bond of Ava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael through the vehicle of Talmud Torah. Therefore, it is entirely appropriate for a person who, for whatever reason, didn't say Brachas Torah, Ava Rabba is just as good, because Ava Rabba encapsulates what the essence is. So we began the Shir with the Maimon Chazal Kishem Hashem Ekra, and we raised the question, how did Chazal see in the word Shem Hashem anything about Talmud Torah? And we developed the yisod that the Shem Hashem is Talmud Torah. It means that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expression of himself in this world for us as human beings to begin to perceive. And now we conclude really with the same theme, that the mitzvah of Yahavta Hashem Elokecha, that mitzvah is performed dafka through the vehicle of Talmud Torah. So we saw it in the world of Lomdus. We saw it hopefully in the world of Chizuk of Esaurus. So I'll share with you one story, which every once in a while something happens to you, and you remember it and it changes your life. It wasn't per se such a profound moment, but if you think about it, it's been lasting with me for almost 30 years already. It goes back to my days when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael. It was during a Ben Azmanim, and it was a very hot afternoon. And I found myself in Meir Shearim, and I finished all my farm shopping for the Ben Azmanim. Probably ran out of money at the time, and I needed, quote unquote, to kill some time. Meir Shearim's a good place if you want to kill time. You go to Beis Medrash. So Loch Hasei Bachshem, Loch Hasei Bat Midrashos in Meir Shearim. So I noticed there was a Beis Medrash that was called Beis Medrash de Chassidei Alexander. I don't think I have any Alexander blood in me, but for, you know, as good a place as any, and the best part, the air conditioning was pretty strong. So I walked into Beis Medrash, I was joining Ben Azmanim, there was nobody there. I take a sefer off the shelf, I'm sitting learning for a couple of minutes. An old Yerushalmi Yid comes over to me, offers me a cup of cold water. He looks at me, I look at him. I didn't exactly look like a chassid from Chassidi Alexander, but our eyes met. And he looks at me and he says, I can still hear the words 30 years later. He looks at me and he says, Kol hadovek b'toira, if you cling to the Torah, ki ilu dovek b'akadosh baruch hu. It's like you're clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With that, Chassidi Shigid from Chassidi Alexander said, it took me 45 minutes to develop in the world of wonders, but he had it right. He walked out, I never heard of him again. It was Eliyahu HaNavi, not Eliyahu HaNavi. I can't tell you, that part is already way beyond the Shemaimi, but the Chizik for sure lasted with me. So I think if we want to walk away with a message from Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaTorah is not just a bracha. Because Talmud Torah is not just a mitzvah. Talmud Torah and the Kaol Birchas HaTorah is a way to experience, a way to feel that Ava is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Ava is HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down to us and we respond in turn. The vehicle of Talmud Torah is our greatest way to deepen that bond of love to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And what a schus it is, what a privilege it is, before one begins to embark upon that journey of love, to praise the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki shem Hashem ekra, avu gadol
lakem. I'll just offer some closing words.